All right, so as they go down and you guys get ready, I'm going to have you turn to the book of Jonah. Everybody knows where that's at, right? So I picked up this Bible. This is the Bible that's in your pew that I'm going to be using this morning. If you go to page 916 in this Bible that's in the pew, you will find it. Jonah's kind of hidden in the middle. Everybody knows the story of Jonah, but Jonah's kind of a book hidden in the minor prophets there, and sometimes it's hard to find. It's between Obadiah, then Jonah, then Micah. And it was just the other day we were learning the books of the Bible with Joshua and Liam, and we were going through the books of the Bible, and we found a cool song, and we learned it through the song, so... Now I know where Jonah is, even easier. So, now you know. If you'll find it, find the book of Jonah. We're going to go through that. About midweek, actually a couple days ago, I had everything figured out what we were going to talk about. It was not going to be Jonah. We were going to go through creation, and we were going to go through even more in depth the mission of God here on earth, and what his mission on earth is, and what the church part of that is. And that shifted 2 days ago. After the occurrences that have happened in our nation and over the last 2 weeks, lots of crazy stuff, and there is divisiveness and disunity and just, and at the end of the day, craziness. And for some reason, God was like, all right, Nate, you've been studying and getting ready for the next 3 weeks to preach on something, and I want you to teach over Jonah. So I was like, Jonah, okay. Let's see what it says. And part of what you're going to realize as we go through Jonah is there's a picture of ultimately, now as we look back on it, of the church and the world and our part and what we have and haven't done and what God calls us to do. And so over the next 3 weeks, we're going to go through the chapters of Jonah, the four chapters of Jonah. So don't miss, because you're going to miss out and you're going to see the children's story in a whole new way. So what I want you to do really quickly is I want you to turn to someone near you, if someone's near you, and just tell them what you think the story of Jonah is about. Ready, go. Or maybe what you remember from the story of Jonah. Alright, so how many of you guys have read Jonah lately? Alright, good. Hopefully, when you go home today and this week, you'll read through all four chapters. And when you come back, you'll be super ready for what we talk about. Today, we're going to attempt to go through the first chapter and kind of set a baseline for what it's talking about. One of the things you need to know about Jonah is it's only narrative. So, whereas all the other prophets, when you look at it, you have prophecy within a lot of the Old Testament and not the books that are called prophecy. But all the other prophets, you have basically a word from God that the prophet brings to the people of God. Here's what God says you should do, and it's usually based off of what he already told them, which is kind of a funny thing. And so in all the other books, you have that. But in Jonah, it's just narrative. It's just a story, but a story with purpose. The other thing is in Jonah is the only prophet to speak to a foreign country, a foreign nation, right? The other ones, God is speaking to Israel about what they have and haven't done and what they need to do and how they should live, based, once again, on what he has already told them to do. And so Jonah already is a little bit different, so you should kind of catch this picture that there's something different in this book, all right? So, you know, when I think of Jonah... Usually, I think of the children's stories with the fish and the boat and all the funny stuff that entitles Jonah, or the VeggieTales stuff where they're the pirates that don't do anything, or, you know, all that kind of stuff, right? Well, I'm about to crush your hopes and dreams about Jonah, because that is not what the book of Jonah, the picture that it paints. But what it does paint is, on the first level, you have Jonah, a prophet of God. And Nineveh, a city that was incredibly scary and wicked. It was a terrible place. They did terrible things. That's the first level. The second level, and why it's here in Scripture, is the level of God speaking to the Jews, the Israelites, the people that he had chosen who had forgotten why they were his people. And so Jonah is a representation of the people of God, the Israelite nation, and he was rebuking the Israelite nation. As we go through, you'll see that. And their, I guess you could say it, what they're doing in the world. So Nineveh is a bigger representation in some ways of the world that is non the people of God. You have the people of God and the not people of God. And the last level where we will seek to apply it to our lives is the level of the current church, our church, this church, the church universal, the church of God, the bride of Christ, the people of God, and the world that we live in. If you watch news, if you see Facebook, I think part of it's a product of us being able to access all of the world all at once. We think everything is going wrong right now, right? Because we see it on the news. 50 years ago, you may not have known a lot of the stuff that happened over the last weeks. But now we do. So what do we do with that? And so we're going to seek to go, how do we in the midst of this be the people of God to transform? And something I really, if you get nothing else out of today, what I want you to hear is talking about politics, talking about what you think, who should have and who shouldn't have, talking about all these things will do no good to see our nation and the people around us and our communities be transformed. It'll do nothing. Those conversations are not bad if you can sit down and have a conversation, but that will do nothing to transform and to see unity within our communities and within our nation. There's one thing that will bring unity back to our communities, our cities, and our nation, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Void of Jesus, our nation, our communities will never, ever, ever be unified. And so start with that base. We're trying to get back to God's original intent for us as a people of what he did within Scripture, what he does with us. And in the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at what does that mean for us and how do we get back into culture in a way that transforms culture instead of a way that becomes divisive in culture. Okay? Make sense where we're kind of going? All right, so let's jump in right away here to Jonah. Let's look at the first two verses. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. We'll just say that's how you say it. Doesn't really matter. You can call him whatever you want. Galo, whatever you want to say next time. Okay? Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me, or before my face. Okay? Do you know anything about Nineveh? Okay, Nineveh was that place. And this morning as I was talking, I was like, this may be a really weird parallel, but that's how my mind works. Before I lived in Pueblo, Pueblo was that place. Right? In Colorado as a whole, when you talk about Pueblo, they're like, oh, Pueblo. Pueblo is a place that everybody drives through, nobody stops. Okay? And so as I was thinking about Nineveh, I was like, oh my goodness, we live there, right? In a weird way. But as we've gotten here and we've been in the community, you know what? It's just another town, it's another city, it's another community that is like every other one. It really isn't as bad as they point out to be. But elsewhere, it was seen as that community. Nineveh was that community, but a lot worse. Okay? They were terrible, and how it's described is they were wicked. They were a people that did terrible things, and they did not follow God. They were that city. Okay? And so, imagine Jonah sitting in his hammock, relaxing. God's like, hey, Jonah, I need you to do something because you're a prophet. You're my mouthpiece to people. He's like, cool, you want me to go tell some people that you know, you need to stop doing this or do this. And he's like, yeah, I want you to go to Nineveh. Okay? So remember what Jonah just heard. I don't want you just to go to somebody. I want you to go to the worst. And you have to go all the way over there, and you have to tell them that they're going to be destroyed. So Jonah said, sure, no problem, would love to. That's not really how he responded, right? Okay. The first thing we kind of see there is it kind of sets up the picture of what God is seeing. I think sometimes what I see when people read about the crucifixion is they see Jesus. You have to shift your mind for just a second. They see Jesus on the cross, and when Jesus cries out, my Lord, why have you forsaken me? My God, why have you forsaken me? What they see is a cosmic separation between Jesus and God. And I've heard it said that God cannot see sin because of that. They've said, well, God couldn't see Jesus because he was burdened by sin. That is heretical. That is not true. And here's one of the reasons we know it. The wickedness of Nineveh was seen by God, right? By the way, there was no separation between Son and Father. That's not possible because it's one God. That's just a freebie side note that I didn't tell people in the first service. No separation between God and God, okay? That cannot happen, all right? But here, the wickedness came up before the face of God. He saw the wickedness in Nineveh, and he was going to send his man to go, okay? And so the first thing we realize is God calls us, right? God called Jonah to something very specific. And you've heard this before, but Dad says there's always three callings of God. The first is a call to himself, to know him and walk with him. It's to know that we are created to be his image bearers on this earth, to display his lordship, to bring his kingdom here so that others may know him and walk with him. That's the first call. That only through Jesus Christ there is salvation, and all the stuff I do, only Jesus can get rid of. That he died upon the cross so that I can have life, and he was raised on the third day to new life, so that if I accept that he died for me and I turn from my ways and I follow him, I will have new life forever. Okay? That's the number one call of God. The second call of God is to something. Do you realize that Jonah had already been called to something? What was he called to? To be a prophet. Man, you guys could probably preach this yourselves, I know. Okay? Jonah was called to be a prophet, the mouthpiece of God to people. The third calling that God calls is to somewhere. Okay, don't get those out of order. You can't follow God if you're not following God. And God calls us to something, and then he calls us to somewhere to do what he's called us to do. Okay, and I've got news. Everybody sitting in here has a calling upon their life. The first calling is to know and walk with the Savior of this whole earth. The God who has created everything you see when you walk outside, the mountains and the valleys and the plains and the deserts and the universe, that God we are called to walk with, okay? But the second one, I think we forget about. God calls you to something, just like he called Jonah, something specific. Each of you has been gifted by the Spirit of God if you know God. You've been gifted to do something for God. I don't care. It's not an age thing. It's not a race thing. It is a God thing. And it is from him for you to do something specific. And the third is eventually he will call you to somewhere. And that may be here in this community. And that may be Brazil. I hope someone in here actually ends up going to Brazil. That'd be really funny. Okay, so God calls. God called Jonah to do something very specific. Okay, so let's look at what Jonah decided. What did Jonah do? Oh, by the way, I have news. You're going to find out. You actually have to answer that call because we'll see how it went for Jonah. If you don't answer the call, I'm not saying you will end up in the belly of a fish, but it may not go well. Okay? So verse 3 says, but Jonah ran away from the presence of the Lord and headed to Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Okay? Jonah, you might miss this one. Jonah was willing to pay to get away from the presence of God. Willing to pay to get away from God. All right, so let's imagine you're in Denver. Not that you want to be there, but you're in Denver, okay? And God says, go to Pueblo, right? And so what you do is you hop on a bus and you head to Washington State or to Canada. That is the equivalent of what Jonah did. God said, go that way. And so Jonah said, I'm going to go this way. And he was fleeing, what does it say, from the work? Was he fleeing from something else? He was fleeing from the presence of God. Once again, that's not a small statement. And the presence was seen in the temple of God. That was kind of the representation of where God was. And so Jonah was fleeing from God. How did that go for Adam and Eve when they were hiding from God? Right? Adam and Eve, God just created them. Adam, if anybody should know, right? Adam should have realized, I can't really hide from somebody that just I saw create all of this stuff. But they were hiding from God. That doesn't go well for anybody. That's actually not possible. Okay, so Jonah's fleeing from the presence of God, and he's willing to pay, which shows an even greater amount of not following God, right? And so he's heading in the opposite direction. Then what happened? What did God do? All right, I'll just find somebody else to do it. Did that go well for Moses? And I can't speak very well, God. God was like, cool, your brother can talk for you, but you're still doing it, right? Can you name anybody in the Bible that God called to something that when they refused, he was like, okay, cool, I'll just do it for someone else? It just doesn't work that way. Because when the God of all the universe calls you to something, you have to answer that call. You can try to run, it's just not going to go well, okay? So then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break apart. It was so bad that the ship is falling apart. How do you know it was that bad? Because all the sailors, these were dudes that sailed all the time. The sailors were afraid. And each cried out to who? To his own God. This guy, you know, Billy Bob is like, oh, God of the sea. And Jimbo over here is like, oh, other God. And they're all crying out to their own gods. They're the polytheism of the time. They all had their own God, and they had various gods. And at certain times, they would call to different gods to do things. All right, so they're calling out to their own gods. And what did they do? This, once again, this really tells you how bad the storm is. They threw the cargo, their life, their money, the things that basically the cargo was, that's what they were taking somewhere. Jonah was like an extra dude, right? They were taking something worth value to them for their families and for them, and they're throwing the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. All right? So the picture, Jonah's running, God sends a storm. They know there's something different about this storm. It's a supernatural storm, it must be, because they were afraid as sailors. They were throwing their cargo into sea, and they were crying out to their gods. But where's Jonah in this? Little joker. Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay and fell into a deep sleep. Now, in the Hebrew, this deep sleep is the same word that they use for when God put Adam to sleep to take his rib. So it wasn't just like napping, you know, like the other night, then that storm hit. We didn't sleep for like 3 hours. There was hail hitting our windows and lightning. We couldn't sleep. This dude was snoozing, and he was snoozing very, very deeply. I don't know if he wasn't worried, what was going on. And so he was in this deep, deep sleep. And the captain, you know, it's a big deal. Once again, the captain went to him and said, "What are you doing? How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us and we will not perish." You see that interesting statement? There's starting to be a shift, right? Jonah's running from God. And in the midst of Jonah disobeying God, God is turning the sailors to himself. Even in disobedience, God is making himself known to people that were not his people. It's pretty cool stuff. So what's next? "Then the sailors said to each other, 'Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity.' They cast lots, and the lots fell on Jonah." It's not surprising. He's sleeping below deck, right? Everybody else is freaking out. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all of this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" And Jonah answered, "I am a Hebrew," which brings something to their mind, "and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." That's a very important statement. Jonah just told them he worships the only God, the God that controls the sea, which is a really big deal, the God that controls the God that is of heaven and the God of the land. So basically he said, "I'm the God, I know the God of everything." That's a gospel story. That's a good news story in the midst of disobedience, in the midst of chaos. And verse 10 says, "This terrified them, and they asked, 'What have you done?' They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them." Ah, we're getting insight into what happened, right? And why they knew that something was going on with this one guy who didn't even belong on the boat, had paid them to go with him, and this supernatural storm had obviously come up, and so they're like, "Wait a minute, this guy said he was running from God. Now we know it's the God, and he's running from a God that controls everything. What are you doing? Why are you running from that God?" I mean, the sailors who don't even know God are saying this. Just a side note, if the worst person you know starts telling you, "Why are you not following God?" maybe it's time to listen, okay? If that happens this week, let me know, okay? Just FYI there. So what happened? Because of that, this terrified them. And when they asked him, "What have you done?" And he told them, because they remembered. And in verse 11, the sea was getting rougher and rougher. It was getting worse. They'd already thrown the stuff overboard, and now the sea is getting even worse. So they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" And Jonah was like, "I guess let's just pray a prayer, you know?" No, this is like that twist in the movie that you didn't see coming. "Pick me up and throw me into the sea." I don't know about you, but that sounds really funny at this point in time. Sea's crazy, all this stuff happened. Jonah's like, "Here's the solution. Just throw me into the sea." I don't know why I find that funny, but it's incredibly funny to me. He replied, "And it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, because even these pagan men who were not God's people still had morality, Now, void of God, there is no morality, so they steal that from God. But they have that sense that Roman talks about, that we know right and wrong. They know it's probably better not to throw Jonah into the sea. Instead, the men did their best to row back to land. They're like rowing, trying to get back to land, because like, we're not going to throw someone overboard and be responsible for death. But they could not, and the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried to the Lord, "O Lord, please, do not let us die from taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, O Lord..." Ah, transition. You notice what Lord that is? That is no longer little God. The sailors have transitioned to the God. There is a change in belief here. The process that God has taken them through in the midst of Jonah's disobedience is now what? Salvation. Because they're starting to realize that there is a God, one God, true God. Do they fully understand it all? Probably not. But there's movement towards the Lord. "O Lord, please do not let us die taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, O Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah. He asked for it. In more than one way. Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. Immediately. Not after a little bit. Right away. Jonah, I can imagine, as he's fallen, and he hits the water, it's like ripple effect, and the storms go away, and it stops. And the winds stop blowing. And the people realize, aha, there is a God. And what happened in the midst of Jonah's disobedience? "And the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him." The men probably came to salvation in the midst of Jonah's disobedience. See, we're all called by God, all of us. And we're called for his purpose of what he is doing on this earth. Just like Jonah, we have a tendency to either plug our ears, and that's a form of running. When you plug your ears and you stop listening to God. We do what Jonah did, and we run from God. Because God says, go love those unlovable people. Go to your neighbor who is not like you. Provide for that guy, even though you don't like that guy. Go to those people who are not like you. Go to that neighborhood you don't like. We plug our ears. Really, we're just running from God. And he calls us. But the second thing is he pursues us. In the midst of us running from him, thankfully, he still pursues us. Look, if you don't know Christ as Savior and Lord, you can run all you want. But God pursues you. And he loves you. And he wants you. And he wants you to walk with him. So that you may have relationship with the God of all the universe. But also, if you walk with God and you know God, and you're not listening to God, he still pursues you. And for Jonah, it took a storm and possible near death. But God pursues you, and you can't run too far. Where did Jonah go when he fell in? Look, 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 look. You know, the picture we think is he's like swimming in the water, right? And then God's like, fish. And he takes him off. But that's not the picture of Jonah. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. The truth is, God pursued Jonah where he was at, and next week we'll be able to see that Jonah was not on the surface. He was sinking to the depths of that body of water. And God sent a fish to save Jonah. No matter how far away Jonah was, that's as far away as you can get in the depths of a sea. And God sent salvation to Jonah in the form of a great fish. What an amazing picture of an amazing God, right? He called Jonah and Jonah ran. God pursued Jonah and did those things to make him turn back. Jonah went to his death and God saved him from his death. And though you may love the story of Jonah, you have to realize that the story is for you and me too. Because God calls us and he pursues us, but he also saves us. And you can't run too far. You can close yourself up in your house, get in a closet, hide from him. You can run to a different city. You can go as far away as you can imagine, think from God. But you can't run too far. He still pursues you because he loves you and he wants you. And he will save you if you will turn to him. As we continue in this story next week, I think what we really want to wrestle with is God called Jonah to Nineveh, the worst place he could imagine, to make the name of God great. Not for Jonah. Definitely wasn't comfort for Jonah. It wasn't for a better job for Jonah, or a house, or a car, or better friends. It was a clear calling to a people. And you can look throughout the scriptures. Our purpose is to carry out God's mission, not our mission. And God's mission, his working on this earth, is to reconcile, to call back a people that he created for him, all peoples, all races, all nationalities, all socioeconomic levels, to know him. And as a church and as individuals, just like with Jonah, just like with Israel, sometimes we're like, I don't know if I want to do that, God. That's out of my comfort zone. That's out there. But I got news. God will send a fish. He'll send a fish on dry land, and then you'll really be creeped out. God will send something. And sometimes it's death. And sometimes it's hard times. But he's going to get your attention. Will you answer his call as he pursues you and seeks salvation for all of this community, all of this world? Next week, we're going to look at what does that look like us as we go through the story as individuals and as a church. And the last week, we're going to look at what that looks like for all places. But remember, you can't run from God. He does call you. So your homework this week is I want you to read Jonah, first of all. Go ahead and read it. It's pretty short. I want you to pray about what your calling is, because God calls you no matter if you're 12 or if you're 112. He calls you to something. And as he pursues you, will you turn to him? And will you walk back to him? And will you be about his purposes and not your own? I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to do something I didn't do in the first service. I'll ask Patrick, there's the song, the second before the last song, We Believe. If you'll bring up the beginning of that one, we're going to do something after we pray. Let's pray. And as we pray, I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to hear from God, okay? Your goal is to talk to God, not to me, not to the people beside you, but it's to talk to God and ask God, what is it that you have called me to? Help me not to run. Help me to hear clearly what you say. Okay? So let's pray. God, as we lift this before you, give us clarity as a people, as individuals, as part of the greater church, which is your bride, your people. Help us to hear from you what it is you're saying. Help us to have clarity, whether it's here, whether it's elsewhere, whether it's here then elsewhere. I pray that you would impress upon this church and everyone here today, whether they are guests for the first time, second time, or they've been here a while. Help us to hear from you. Help us hear your calling and keep us from running from you. God, if someone's running from what you're calling them to, stop them in their tracks. Help them to hear from you today. We love you. We thank you. It is only in the name of the only way to you, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Okay, so if you'll put those, the first, we're just going to go really quickly, because what we do a lot of times is we sing, and next time you sing this, I almost got up, I almost told Kayla to, after, at the end, to be like, hey, let me come up there, but, so, first line in this time of desperation, do we have more desperate times than currently, right? Doubt, fear, there's one foundation, Jesus Christ, right? Go to the next one, if you would. See what I'm getting at? This broken generation, is there a more broken generation? Is there a more divided generation? No. All the dark around us, what do we get back to? Salvation, right? We believe. Okay, you can no longer sing the song the way you did before. You better shout it out next time, okay? The next one. So now comes our belief system, right? What do we believe in? God the Father. Read it with me. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit. And he's done what? He's given us new life. Okay? Next one. Read it with me. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection. And he's coming back again. What are the three things to salvation? Crucifixion. He conquered death there. Resurrection. Okay, keep going. This line, if nothing else. Let our faith be more than anthems. More than singing. More than going to church on Sunday morning, more than things we, bumper stickers we put on our car, greater than the songs we sing, we must believe that God is who he said he was and that Jesus Christ came and gave his life for us. Okay, go to the next one. And now comes our call, right? Let the lost be found and the dead be raised. In the here and now, let love invade. Let who live loud? Who's the church? Raise your hand if you're part of you're here today. Okay. Let the church live loud. Our God will save. Okay? We don't have to go through the rest of the song. But that's the message of God, right? It's a call to stop just doing life. It's to believe in who God is. And to pursue him in such a way that we are compelled out there. Okay? So today, go in peace, but you better come back next Sunday ready for the rest of Jonah. It's going to be fun. Thank you, guys. You're dismissed.